And if things are working properly this morning, it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. Of course, you can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, theberkshireedge.com. Let's see if Marcy and David are there. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I can hardly hear you, though.
You can hardly hear me? How about now? How about now?
No.
Wow. Everybody else, there's no problem with everybody else.
David, can you hear them?
I know. I see what you mean. They're a little.
It's very faint.
It's very faint. Wow. I'm not a faint person. I can't.
No.
That's right. Well, I've got everything potted up to 100%, so we'll go on and see what happens here. All right.
That's getting a little better.
All right. So now, what started off with the pandemic and the South County schools now getting creative on how to honor and celebrate the graduating class?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're given the pandemic, the schools are trying to figure out and have to reconfigure how they do their graduations. And this is not unusual, of course, but I mean every school across the country is probably doing the same thing. Some of them are going to go online and have kind of virtual celebrations, for example, Monument Mountain Regional High School here at Great Barrington is going to have a kind of drive-through style where students receive their, that's how students receive their diplomas, and then they're going to have a parade of the cars with the kids in it, just for the graduates.
We're being creative.
We're trying to be creative.
And we have, David has a son who's graduating from the eighth grade at the Montessori School, and they have done something very imaginative. They've done it. Every student has been videotaped, dressed up, and making a graduation speech, and they're going to put them all together, and on June 10th there's going to be a virtual graduation, and they've sent out emails to, David has provided a list of names and emails, and everyone is invited to make a video of congratulations for the graduating student, and those will be all put together too, so that he will have at least some sort of celebration of himself and a memento of a graduation ceremony.
Yeah, What they're doing at the Weavitt-Tuck Central School District is they videotaped everything that the administrators and stuff would do, and they videotaped the handing out of the diplomas, one at a time, and then that's going to be shown at the drive-in, at the Amenia drive-in, so everybody can be in cars.
That's a good idea.
And then after this is all over, then they're going to show a movie.
A movie of what? Just a movie. Drive-in.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be School's Out. I have no idea. But it's a good idea what they're doing. I think it's a great idea what they're doing.
Well, they had to be very creative and try to figure out how to do these ceremonies that are socially and medically appropriate.
Safe
for this situation.
If this were back in 1971, our class would vote to have a big party with a couple of kegs of beers, and we would spread everybody out over like 15, 20 acres and have some fun that way. But that wouldn't work nowadays.
No.
Well, anyways.
It's terrible because, it's a memory. I mean, look, these kids are young, especially David's son, who's graduating from the eighth grade. So it's not like, this is the culmination of his school career. But still, it's a memory that they won't have.
I've always thought, and this is just me, and I know I'm going to sound like a grump, but even back when I graduated from eighth grade, and we used to have to wear ties and jackets, and if kids couldn't afford to do that at Sharon Center School, they would buy the suit for them. So everybody graduated like that, and I just always thought that when you save the graduation, the biggie for high school, you know, have parties and stuff like that, because the high school graduation going to college is really a significant achievement for a student who's, you know, gone through from grammar school, preschool, grammar school, right on up through, that it really is a significant moment when it's the first time where the ties are kind of broken with home, and it's a real important event. It really is.
Well, for us though, you see, I have young kids. I have one, you know, who's in ninth grade, and one who's in eighth grade. So, you know, graduating from eighth grade is going to next year. Both of those kids are going to be away at schools. One is going to be in Putney, and the other is going to be in Middlesex near Boston. So this is they are going away.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You have some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun to see, even though it was a ceremony where each individual kid got up and made a little speech. And that was videoed, and it'll be all put together for the virtual graduation. So,
right.
But that's the way it has to be done. This time around,
it's just the way it is, and people are adapting and have to adapt to it, and they're coming up with creative ways to do this. I want to move on to your next story because it's something that we find in every community. There was one in Lakeville yesterday, one in Poughkeepsie, coming up in Cornwall this weekend. Kent is having one, and these are gatherings and protests of people over the murder of the black man in Minneapolis, and Black Lives Matter. These events now are taking place in so many different communities, and you're talking about one in Pittsfield.
Yep, there's one. There's one that was held in Pittsfield, and it's been a difficult, and heart-rending situation. And what's interesting to me is how people have felt so moved by across the country by this event, and it's almost as if it were tapped into something that was, I think, everyone maybe was surprised at. I certainly was, it's enraged so many people across the country. That murder of that George Floyd by those Minneapolis cops. So and everywhere, you know, there's some feeling of real outrage and that has struck a deep chord in people.
See, I don't know. I'm 67. Okay. I had the luck or unluck of being fully aware of the riots that took place in Hartford, Los Angeles, New York,
yeah,
the burning many, many, many years ago.
In the late 60s.
Yeah.
Right.
The minute I saw this picture, just a still picture, I said to myself, this is going to be the thing that blows up the powder keg once again. And
yeah,
and we are going to head into a very, very long summer that not only do we do with the pandemic, we're also going to deal with these riots that happened late at night and the peaceful protests that happened before those. It's just we're heading into a summer that is almost identical to what happened years ago. And that's the sad thing, that as far as we think we have come in this country dealing with racism, this just reopens the wound and the fact that No, we haven't come far enough.
No, and that was, what, 1967?
We just have not come far enough as a country. It's, right. It's unbelievable.
But it's worse this time. First of all, it's worse because it's 60 years or whatever it is since we haven't moved at all.
No.
But the other thing is that, you know, we're in a, right now, I mean, and I think this is largely due to social media, but we're in a situation where there are so many crazies. You know, we haven't experienced it yet in the Berkshires, but there are so many conspiracy theories, and there are so many small groups of radicals and extremists. I mean, now, you know, what we didn't have in the late 60s was the far, far left Antifa movement. We didn't have the far, far right black white supremacist. And we didn't have social media, which is putting out an extraordinary amount of conspiracy information that this is George Soros who is causing all of this, or Bill Gates is trying to poison everybody with a vaccine that's going to subjugate the world to his power. You know, these are things that are being put forth in social media and are being read by millions and millions and millions of people and believed. So, you know, in the 1960s, it was, you know, the black communities that erupted, and you either were sympathetic to them or not. But now we've got, you know, so many groups of people with different perspectives, whose issue is not the central issue of racism.
It's
and we also have, you know, a political structure, which is not helpful.
It's a harrowing time, and
it's a harrowing time, and I have no, and plus we have the pandemic.
You know,
so I have no idea where this is going. It is going to be a long and very unpleasant summer, and it's going to be a long and very unpleasant race for the presidency. It's very disheartening because the America and the United States that we all knew and that even, you know, gave us some hope that there would be some solution to racism, that America is no longer here. And the path to the solution is very unclear.
Yeah, what I don't understand, and I try to think in simple terms. I did this in high school. I did this in grammar school when I was doing work. And reading into different problems, is what I don't understand is right after this happened, and the first person was charged. The other three should be charged. Why our Capitol, the president, and I'll say the leadership of the House and Senate didn't get together and say we're going to set up a commission that includes retired police officers. Retired black and minority Americans that have been abused by police violence, and we're going to set up a commission that is going to investigate rogue police officers throughout this country. It might take 2, 3, 4 years, but you look at rogue police officers. There might be 5 to 10% of the police officers that are rogue. That sounds small, but it's not rogue when you take the whole country. I think if a commission like that was set up that started to work, it would kind of ease not totally, but it would set the country on a right path at least. But I'm just surprised that nobody has
right.
come up with something like that.
Right.
Well, that's because the president on down is taking advantage of this. He doesn't want it dispelled, this kind of embedded racist attitude. He wants to use it.
It's just to
his advantage.
Yeah. The only way that this is going to really, really calm down is some serious talks get underway from some serious people, and you start investigating the problem of the minority of rogue cops, which are putting, by the way, all the other police departments and police people that do their job correctly in harm's way.
Yes.
Because they'll be viewed as rogue cops as well, and right. quite potentially attacked. That's what I don't understand, why people can't together. It's a serious problem, and boy, if it's not dealt with sooner or later, this is going to be a real long summer. But anyway,
according to the New York Times, white supremacist groups are infiltrating the police departments all over the country. So who knows what communication is going on between the white supremacist groups and the White House or even the Congress? You know, what kinds of threats if investigations begin?
Well,
and that's why what I think is different from what we, you know, it was a simpler time in the 1960s. You were either against racism or against the war, but you weren't, I don't remember the conspiracy theories, the white supremacists, none of that was, none of that was evident.
Well, it wasn't able to be spread.
It wasn't able to be spread.
Social
media is really.
It's an amazing time we're living through, and social media really doesn't help. Okay.
No, it doesn't. Even though it helps people, it brings people to the Berkshire Edge, and for that we're pleased. but we try to spread our news on social media, but. Anyway, let's go on to another story.
That's right. Let's move on to the reopening of Massachusetts with Governor Baker issuing new guidelines.
He did, and because, we're coming up to the summer, and there's various summer children child care programs and recreational camps and so on for the summer, and the question is how safely can these be engaged by kids and parents, and so Governor Baker has now issued some fairly explicit and detailed guidelines for these thousands of child care providers across the state who are wondering, oh no, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
and
parents,
parents. This article details exactly what he's suggesting.
And unfortunately, summer sleepover camps have not yet been are not yet going to open. I mean, that I think they haven't figured out what to do with sleepover camps.
But for example, children over two, should they be encouraged? They're being encouraged to wear a face covering.
Good luck.
Yeah.
They'll end up eating it like a dog. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not comparing children, folks, but it's just true. They can't comprehend the idea of it. They just can't. First of all, if that happens, I would want to be a photographer there to take the first pictures. That's all I can say.
Well, it's going to be, what I'm concerned about is that these are preparations that are almost practice for what is going to be, if there's a second wave of this virus in the fall, this is almost like these are the routines that are going to become
normal everyday practice.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say, when I was in grammar school as a young kid, we didn't have to worry about this.
Were you young when you went to grammar school?
For many years, and what we did
was you were advanced.
We practiced
going to school while young. Right?
What we had to practice as young kids was getting under the desk and saving ourselves in case there was a nuclear attack.
I remember those.
Not to realize that we still would have been burnt to a crisp, but we just would have been under a desk.
You'd be hovering under your school desk, looking at. Peeking out at the window.
But that was a real fear.
Expecting to see a gigantic flash.
That was a real fear. That was a real fear back then. And so our generation survived that. So I think this generation will survive this. And and we'll learn from it. I want to go on to the next story, though, and that is, a terrific program that Berkshire 5 seniors have been awarded full scholarships to colleges.
Go ahead, David.
No, you go ahead.
No, there's this very interesting program called the Chang Chavkin Program, which is giving full scholarships to college. And one of the qualifications is that the applicant has to be the first in their family to go to college. So
the two new Brattleboro residents, Laura right. Chang and Arnie Chavkin, and they're helping first-generation college students. It's really terrific. In fact, so there are five students from various high schools throughout Berkshire County who are going to be, the students are going to Cornell, Northwestern, Harvard, Mount Holyoke, which is where my sister went, and RPI. And so this is really
wonderful.
This is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a little bit good news with all the pandemic and stuff
news to say.
Put in there.
But I'd like to go on to the next story because that's very much closer to your home.
But it affects, the interesting thing about Lime Rock Park is it might be based in Lime Rock, which is in Salisbury. But it's much bigger than that because the economy that Lime Rock is like Tanglewood of the racing world around here.
Yeah.
It brings in millions of dollars of revenue. So even though it's in Salisbury, it does affect people in South County as well.
Oh, it does. It does. But it also affects you. We've been watching this story. I mean, we've had articles about it as it's gone along, and I was really quite surprised that the ruling went against Lime Rock because, I assumed that because it brings so much money into the area that they would have gotten the benefit of any doubt. So we were very surprised when this ruling came down, and I know that, we have been in touch with people at Music Mountain, and although they're closed for this year, they were very worried because they have their concerts on Sunday, and I had also heard, that in the town of Salisbury, that when Lime Rock is operating, it would be impossible on Sunday for church services to go on as usual. So, it's interesting to me to see. I mean, we had an email from a letter to the editor from a second homeowner who said that he loves car racing and he actually bought a house right next to Lime Rock to be close to Lime Rock.
He was
very unhappy about this decision.
Yeah, but he was feeling that they were blaming second homeowners for the complaints against against Lime Rock, but he said, "Wait a minute, I got a second home up here in order to be near Lime Rock."
Right.
Which I thought was an interesting remark. I know about. I have some friends who live near Lebanon Valley Speedway over in New Lebanon, New York. And it's true that those racetracks can be quite loud, even though they live like a mile, more than a mile up over a hill from that. It is pretty loud. The racing can be quite the cars can be quite thunderous. on a Saturday night.
All right. Well, guess what, folks? We're out of time already. We're out of time. There's only like 20 seconds left.
Well, let's just say, our last story is about gardening and that there has been an explosion of interest in gardening. And all of the garden centers are doing extremely well. And we now, we've added to our list. We have, every other week, we have a wonderful writer named Lee Butala who writes an article called The Self-Taught Gardener. And now we have added a new writer,
Kowalski.
Ron Kowalski. I always have problems with his name. Ron Kowalski, who is doing his famous gardener's checklist, which has appeared in other publications, and he's now come to us. It's every week what a gardener should be doing, and both of those come out on late Wednesday night, early Thursday, in our morning email on Thursday mornings.
All right. Well, that
is... for gardeners, and we also have wonderful Judy Isikoff every other week on Monday writes us a gardening article. So we are now, the Berkshire Edge is Garden Central.
All right. TheBerkshireEdge.com is the location. David and Marcy will speak to you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Be safe.
Take care.
Bye.
Be safe to you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That is The Berkshire Edge on air on Robinhood Radio. You can find them again at TheBerkshireEdge.com.